The street where University of Michigan President Mark Schlissel lives gets a lot of foot traffic. Students walk by all the time under that big canopy of green leaves.
You know, I was on this campus in 1988. This was always my favorite street. It was always the busiest street on campus.
For about a week now, John Vaughn has been sitting on the sidewalk in front of Schlissel's gracious white stone house. This former U of M football player and businessman has a small blue pop-up tent, the kind you might see at a kid's soccer game, just big enough to fit a camping chair and a couple of bags.
So that is my living room, my bedroom, my kitchen, my thinking room.
Why is John Vaughn here? The Me Too signs surrounding the tent might give you a hint.
The national, international media isn't covering what we know as victims as the greatest sexual abuse, rape, and cover-up in the history of sports.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. The University of Michigan is currently in mediation with survivors of sexual abuse by former university sports doctor Robert Anderson. But many survivors, including Vaughn, are unhappy with how the university has handled the situation.
And now at this point, it's either our demands are met or I stay here. I mean, it's simple as that.
I met up with John Vaughn near the president's house on Tuesday. And he told me that the seed for this protest was planted decades ago, though he didn't realize it at the time.
February of 1992, I think, where my mother placed this seed in my head. And we were watching Oprah one day. And something had happened on that show that inspired my mother to talk about her experience in the civil rights movement for the first time in great detail. And one of the things that she talked about was, like, being a second grade elementary teacher. She talked about it was more than just what you learn in school. There were whites and blacks and males and females, young and old, American Indians. And it wasn't about so much civil rights, it was about human rights. It was the human condition. You know, then she looks at me and she said, one day, you're gonna be faced with something that's bigger than you, and I know you're gonna stand, because that's the way I raised you. There was a moment about, I would say 90 to 120 days ago, where I learned that in this mediation process and in how we've been relegated to being John Doe's victims, or in some case, villains, I kind of got like a little fed up because I learned from a good, who's now become a really good friend of mine, Chuck Christian, who's dealing with stage four prostate cancer, that we've now had two guys that have died, one last fall and one this spring since mediation. And all the tactics and the games that were being played, I just started to say, I don't know how much longer I can do this.
By do this, you mean just letting the process play
letting
out?
Letting the process play out. You know, letting them dictate, continually calling me John Doe, continually making us faceless, nameless voices, continuing to hide behind the Block M, continuing to hide behind their lawyers and COVID and Zoom and all these things. And so I personally started researching, like, radical movements that changed history that started on the campus of University of Michigan, and knew that it was trending toward, at some point in time, we have to do something radical.
That is a history.
Yeah, that is a history. And we were looking at that outside of Michigan. The national, international media isn't covering what we know as victims as the greatest sexual abuse, rape, and cover-up in the history of sports. And so I started researching, peaceful protests and the progress that they had back in the day and history in this, not only country, but this university. And I was like, okay, you know, I think this is where my life is trending. And then some significant events happened in which there was blatant disrespect, and it all culminated. So I started studying in preparing my body and preparing my mind for what I would be my moment of no more. And then when I basically said, yeah, I'm doing it, because I hadn't told anybody about this, was when we went to the Board of Regents meeting in person.
This was in September.
Yeah, this was literally three weeks ago, I think.
Some of you had gone to Michigan Stadium, to the Big House, and been outside there, but that presence at the Board of Regents meeting really seems like it was
absolutely
the
first time
point.
They were in person in 500-something days. There were games that were being played. We had to sue, I think, earlier that week for more victims to be able to speak during those meetings. But the thing that really frustrated me is Michigan doesn't care about the optics as it pertains to us, because we don't mean anything to them. That one of the first things that happened in that Board of Regents meeting, where you've got more survivors there personally than ever before, you give the man who instituted, or let's just say one of his first acts when he knew about this tragedy was hire the attorney for Jeffrey Epstein, you give him a 3% raise. And at that point, when I walked out of that meeting, I was like, all right, I'm doing it. So I called my trainer, I called my nutritionist and said, I'm going to fast and I'm going to sit outside, you know, until we stop playing these games and they speak to us across the table. We're not going to take this anonymous game playing where your brand is out there, but yet us as individuals and humans aren't.
We've got to take a break here. Back with more from John Vaughn in just a moment.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
What would happen if Mark Schlissel were to come out and talk to you? I mean, you guys have been out here for
it'll
for
be five days,
days now.
At 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it's been a process away from here too, at the mediation table where the university is talking with attorneys for the survivors.
Yeah, which is there, a joke.
Is there anything more that would happen?
I mean, like, ultimately, you know, just from a human standpoint, and, you know, and so many people, so many students have even asked this, like, if a man is camped out on your front, you know, right at the end of your property line, at a minimum, you want to go and introduce yourself to him and just this humanize the situation. We know that the mediation, this case, and all the things with it aren't going to be solved by that. But what a magnanimous gesture that would be. Not, I can't change what happened to me, but all of the students that you represent would see that. And I think it's too late. That would have gone a long way. It's too late for that now.
Who have you met in sitting out here for you know, all these days?
Some people, I know their names. I've met the faces of sexual abuse survivors, supporters that live and attend this university, that work in this university, that love this university. I've had, Sunday morning, there was a couple in their 80s and they saw the news the night before. And they were like, we just wanted to come and see you and just say thank you for what you're doing. And they had driven all the way from like east of Detroit. But at the same time, I've met new survivors of Anderson and Nassar that I didn't even know that have come to stand in solidarity.
How long will you stay?
Till the job is done. I bought a one-way ticket. you know what I don't care if they notice or not. The biggest thing about my time in Michigan and being coached by Bo Schembechler and in that era, you taught us to thrive in a constant state of being uncomfortable in a sport that is controlled chaos. You built me for this fight. So until you're talking maybe 3-digit days, you have no idea how I have chested this out in my mind. I prepared 60 days just to go the first 30 with a reevaluation plan after 30. I have a friend of mine who has stage 4 prostate cancer, who is leaving his home in Boston this morning, and he will be here tonight, who is a survivor of Dr. Anderson, to stand with us. He's my brother. He's a Michigan man. He's a football player. His name is Chuck Christian. I will stand until he gets justice, because he's 5 years into a 3.5-year death sentence. So how long will I stand? Until the job is done.
John Vaughn, thank you so much for talking to us and for everything you're standing for right now.
Thank you.
We reached out to the university for comment on John Vaughn's protest. A spokesperson sent us a statement that reads, quote, "We offer sympathy to all the survivors of the late Dr. Robert Anderson's abuse, and we thank them for their bravery in coming forward. We appreciate all the ways in which survivors have shared their very personal stories, including at Board of Regents meetings, through news media reports, in email messages, and with WilmerHale investigators. At the University of Michigan, we're working every single day to make our campus safer for every member of our community. We also are working toward fair compensation for the Anderson survivors through the ongoing confidential mediation process that is supervised by a federal judge. Out of respect for that process, there's nothing more we're able to share." Just a reminder that the University of Michigan holds the broadcast license for Michigan Radio. If you or someone you love has been a victim of sexual abuse or assault, and you need to talk to someone, you can call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-HOPE or connect with someone online at rainn.org. And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside shows at michiganradio.org, including our prior interview with John Vaughn. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren with help from Laura. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.